Your Hoover managed to stay in power for so many decades was having basically had the dirt on everyone.
Exactly. Exactly.
That was my conversation with Sanho Tree, a fellow at the Institute for Policy Studies, where he's director of IPS's Drug Policy Project. And for now, that's it. Thank you for joining us. You've been listening to Free Culture Radio. I've been your host, Doug McVeigh. A big thank you to Sanho Tree and all the folks at the Institute for Policy Studies. We'll be back in a month to continue our examination of drugs, drug cultures, and the influence of drugs on society. Thanks again for listening. This is Doug McVeigh saying so long. So long.
You're listening to Community Radio KBOO Portland.
Got troubles. I got them too. There isn't anything I wouldn't do for you. We stick together, can say it through. Cause you got a friend in me.
Radio Lost and Found on every second and fourth Thursday from 10 to midnight, right here on KBOO.
Ah! 1, 2, 3, 4.
Y'all ready for this?
Ladies and gentlemen.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 0.
Never been done before talking about a subject.
Davey D, Hard Knock Radio, hanging out with you this afternoon. As you know, in the Bay Area, it is big doings. We are on the cusp of getting ready to kick off NBA All-Star Weekend. I think this might be the first. I don't know if it came here before. No, it did come here a long, long time ago. But it's definitely the first one in San Francisco at the Chase Center, the NBA All-Star Weekend. People from all over the world will be descending upon our fine city, and many people are doing an array of activities to welcome folks to these parts of town. One of the things that I think will pique your interest is something that has been happening above and beyond All-Star Weekend. It's called Art of the Game, an All-Star exhibit. And I have a number of people who are no stranger to our airways. One of them is Jeff Perlstein. You know him for the former owner of the place Soul Space. Now he has Soul Space Labs, a community marker space for upcycling sneakers as a joyful practice to reduce harm on our planet. He's a longtime cultural worker and Oakland activist. We have Jonathan Chan. He's an artist, graphic designer, who work with the San Francisco Giants, Bleacher Report, NBC Sports Bay Area, and many more. He's co-created last fall's tribute to Klay Thompson called Klay Area. And then we have the one and only Shamari Smith, filmmaker extraordinaire, artist. And if you haven't had a picture or a portrait done by Shamari, then something's wrong, because he has graced all of us with his art, and you can see it throughout the Bay, and many people have it on their Facebook or their social media feeds. And so it's good to have the three of you here. Jeff, I'm going to start off with you. You've been with us the longest. Last year, you had the Clay Area exhibit. This year, you're doing the Art of the Game All-Star exhibit. Can you give us a little bit of 101 at what these exhibits are about, and then we'll talk to the rest of the guests?
Yeah, thanks, Davey, and hi, everyone listening. We're super excited and to celebrate the joy of basketball and also our Bay Area artists. We have over 25 Bay Area artists who are showing their love of the game with a whole wide range of artistry this time. This show is centered around the All-Star game, so there's several pieces from each All-Star player, the starters and reserves in the East and West. And then we also have for the locals and for folks visiting who should love our Warriors, we have a Wall of Warriors, which is featuring the all-time Warriors. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We're now up to, I think, over 80 pieces of art together right now. So it's all ages. It's pay what you can. And it's right easily accessible on Market Street in San Francisco, right at the Powell Bart.
Oh, wow. So you're going to be in the city. I'm so used to you being in the East Bay, but that's going to be a good look. So let me bring you in, Jonathan. Sure. You're no rookie in these parts of town with your extensive background. You co-curated the Clay Area situation. For people who don't know, what was the Clay Area thing about?
Sure. I mean, the Clay Area exhibit really was like kind of our thank you to Clay Thompson and our appreciation for all the years of joy he brought to the area. You know, him leaving the off season, our fans never really got a chance to say goodbye. So when he came back, I mean, it was for the artists, it was just kind of a no brainer to like say we all wanted to get together, we all wanted to do something to show our appreciation. And Clay was one of those people who's got so much personality, both on and off the court. It was so fun to see what all the artists did. Like, you know, our group got together and we said Clay Thompson, and everybody just ran off and did their own separate thing. And when they came back, it was so fun to see what aspect of Clay each artist kind of latched onto and wanted to depict and share. So kind of taking a, you know, a very similar approach to a lot of the art for this show, and excited to show everybody what we all came up with.
Did Clay see it himself?
I know Clay was aware of it. I don't know if he actually saw it himself, only because I know it's game time and I know he's trying to stay focused and all that. But I do know some of the pieces got relayed to him, and he appreciated what we did.
Right. It, you know, I only ask because Clay was one of those people that to actually show up at things. Him and Steph are pretty known for that. You know, you look around and you're like, is that Clay? That is Clay, you know? What are you doing here at our backyard barbecue? Why are you here? You
know, absolutely. Like
I heard there was some food, man. They called me out, so I'm here. So you're building up on this with the All-Star Weekend, right? So a couple of things. Were there any themes that kind of stood out with the Clay exhibit? And do you see similar themes emerging with this exhibit? And what I mean by themes, it may be a personality thing, but in terms of how people approached, for example, there was a time when everybody was trying to do comic book art. And then with the digital stuff, you started to get a lot of mixed media pieces that people would get into. And now, you know, I don't know what it is, but, you know, people might be, I want to imagine Clay if he was, you know, this way or that way. So I don't know. Did you find any themes that kind of reflect the politics of today's climate with the artists that you have? Jonathan, you hit that. Yeah.
Sure. That's a great question. And I think you kind of touched upon this here, that one of the things I love about are these shows is you got to get to see the world through all the artists' eyes, right? Like, what are the things touching them? What are their influences? So, you know, we have one of the things I love about the show is I think the varied styles that's being shown in this event. So you've got, you know, the kind of cartoony maybe style art that's really fun, super approachable, super charismatic. And then you've got comic styled art, just like you're talking about. Me myself, I had a background in comic books. So a lot of my art tends to kind of follow that sort of graphic design sort of sensibility and style. you got Shamari's awesome mosaic style art that I love, that there's, you know, words and phrases embedded in the artwork. So you sit there and you'll take in the art, and you'll take in maybe the primary read of like the player. And then as you're sitting there and you're just kind of absorbing it, you start taking on the words and you start taking the atmosphere and the attitude of the piece. So you have things like that, you know, that the artists have worked out, and so many different styles, so many different takes. So it's one of the things that I really do love. Like, we've been trying to promote like the different looks of the art as well. And I think everyone's gonna really enjoy it.
Jamari Smith, no stranger to our airwaves. You're an artiste. Welcome to the show.
Good to see you, Davey.
Yeah. I started off by noting that you've done portraits for just about everybody. So you're no rookie at this. But when you're doing with the basketball players, All-Star Weekend, and all eyes are on you, and other artists, not only in the exhibit, but other artists may be coming in from town, right? And we're in a year, we're in a world where people like to judge and be contrarian just for the sake, right? So how do you deal with that? Do you feel any sort of competitive thing? If I was to join the exhibit, do you feel like, well, you know, let me make sure I bring my extra A game because Dave is with his art and paper now, so...
Well, you know, we're waiting for you at the gallery, Davey. We had that conversation. I don't know if you remember it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm not been pencils aren't working. I couldn't find my pencil sharpener. So, you know, I'm gonna let the little people like you all do this.
On a serious tip, though,
my son, which I did not know. You know, I'm looking. And I'm like, did you do this? And he's like, well, you know, this is what I do. He's 12. He's been getting pretty good. So I might have to send him out there.
Please do. Please do. Yeah.
Oakland School of the Arts, man. He's been Love doing it. His thing. Hasn't Love drawn it. Me yet, but he's he's been doing all that M&A stuff and the whole nine. But with that being said, on a serious tip, with all eyes on you, do you feel there's a pressure? Do you feel that you have to make sure that everything is perfect, or can you just really kind of, you know, flex and just be yourself?
So there it's interesting because this is a bigger stage. You know, we kind of have all eyes on us for this event. We've got a lot of people coming in from out of town, and the exposure, I think, is, 10 times over because of that. But I think from what I've seen with the art, not just speaking from the art that I've done for this exhibit, and it's always a game, no matter what, anytime, anywhere, you have to bring your A game, put your best foot forward. But I would definitely say that because there is this national stage involved, I'm sure that we've got our antennas up, I'll say. So we're ready for anything.
Let me ask all three of you, Jeff Perlstein, that was Shamari Smith, and we have Jonathan Chan here. A lot of conversation around the halftime show at the Super Bowl with Kendrick Lamar, and the big topic du jour, which has spawned off classes and syllabuses, right? And the whole nine, even a documentary is kicking off around the subversiveness in his message. And, you know, Jonathan talked about, you had like the mosaic style, which we know you for, where the words are in there. Jonathan, you do comic book art. There's long been a lot of Easter eggs in comic books. You know, I just see a comic, but somebody else is like, but he used the turquoise color, and the turquoise color next to Steph's name means, you know, and people start to do those things.
Yep.
Jeff, you with the art, just with sneakers, you know, you wear a particular sneaker and it's painted a certain way. It means something. When you're talking about basketball players and you're talking about this current political climate, have people come either with overt political messages or subversive things that are hidden in the pieces?
I'll take it. Or Jonathan, if you want to go first.
Go ahead, Shamari.
Okay. No, I thrive off of that. And I have a style where I can definitely hide a bunch of things in my pieces. And so, in short, yes, there are some things that I like to hide in, but it depends on the subject use too. So like with the NBA theme, there's a little that, like, if I'm doing a Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf piece, I'm probably going to hide a bunch of things in there. If I'm doing Colin Kaepernick, probably going to put more political things in there. It's always based around the personality of the subject, because I'm doing things that are based on the person. So yeah, I will definitely put some subliminal stuff inside of my pieces, and I like to leave it up to the viewer to decipher.
Since this is bringing a lot of artist interpretation, nobody comes to the table and goes, you know, I think that we need to maybe acknowledge the strength that the players have. Maybe we need to make them freedom fighters. I imagine them as being more than just basketball players, but fighters for humanity. We know that a lot of these ball players have come under fire, maybe unfairly, from the current administration and above. Do you suddenly depict them in the exact opposite, which is what I think many people came away from the Kendrick thing, was like, mm-hmm. He threw a middle finger, you know, to a whole lot of folks that were in the room. But art has always been that way, and with political wins, people tend to, you know, have their art speak to the masses. Jonathan, how do you see it, comic book head? So you know that's always been the case.
So I got a funny little story to tell you regarding the Clay Area show, speaking of politics. So not many people know this, so I'm not going to delve too deep into it, because, you know, it got a little problematic there for a bit. But you want to talk about, you know, messages and interpretation. We actually had a piece in the Clay Area show, and it was a piece about China Clay. So, you know, grabbed onto the nickname China Clay, and one of our artists depicted Clay Thompson from his time out there, where he's, you know, doing his promotions for Anta and having a good time and just got that nickname. Well, the art itself had a depiction of China behind Clay. However, really by accident, the artist had left off the island of Taiwan. Well, a lot of people didn't take too kindly to that. And we got a lot of angry messages saying, what kind of political statement are y'all trying to make? You know, Taiwan. Taiwan is underneath, you know, China's ownership, leadership. And quite honestly, it was a mistake. It was just an honest mistake. It was kind of a graphic design thing, and the artist accidentally left it out. And the artist did, you know, like, kind of note to me, like, hey, you know, just kind of hearing that, I left off Taiwan, and well, this is going to be a big issue. And just from a graphic design sensibility thing.
Would people, with the average person, know that you have to do that?
And I think that's exactly it, is that I think we were kind of so, like, under the gun timeline-wise and everything, that I didn't necessarily think it was going to be such a big deal. Because you can kind of look at it from just a design sensibility thing and think about, like, just the alignment of how, like, if Clay had been just, like, an inch over or something a little further, non-issue. He would have been covering up that space. But we thought, like, okay, let's proceed as is. Let's, you know, I don't know how much of an issue this would be for people. Understandably, it was. And understandably, I can see where people are coming from, saying, like, you know, you guys, you know, trying to create this political message, and it wasn't. But, you know, we listened to everybody. We did go back. We said, we understand how people are hurt that if we left that off. And so we went back and fixed it. You know, we responded quickly. I think from the first messages, we had a fix up within like 24 hours or so. But yeah, going back to the
whole thing. So you added Taiwan to it?
And something like that can happen. So interesting how that can affect
it. It's interesting because we know that AP and some news agencies have actually under fire or being removed from the White House because they have not called the Gulf of Mexico the Gulf of America, right? And the big complaint, and I think these are all orchestrated, but nevertheless, it's the political winds. Is like, yep. Why wasn't there any white people in the halftime show? You know, same reason there's no black people in the cabinet, but, you know, we won't go there. But people will come and be like, you know, how come you don't have more Serbian basketball players on the wall? You know, where's the Mexican basketball players? You know, are these things that now have to be considered? People want representation. Do you include women in the mix? Even though it's NBA All-Star Weekend, you know, people talk about the Valkyries and Angel Reese got a commercial and Sports Person of the Year is Kate Caitlin and all that. So do all those things come into play and into the fold?
I would say yes to a degree, right? We want to make sure we have representation. We want to do our best to include women, especially women artists. You know, I think we want our work to be somewhat of a reflection of society. You know, so we try to do our best to include as much as we can. We also have to be careful about dictating too much to the artists, like making certain, like, you know, I don't ever want to go to Shamari and say, Shamari, you got to do this. You have to make sure you do this, right? Like,
Shamari, we need 3 white artists, 2 Asian artists, 1 Japanese artist from Mississippi, and, you know, 2 guys with blue eyes and green hair, you know, to represent, you know, the outliers.
Well, we're super fortunate with all these Bay Area artists. There's so much rich diversity here in the Bay that it's naturally part of it. It is part of our intention, too, when we're reaching out to artists. We do try to balance things out and have as much as we can, you know, the representation. And we all know, especially KPFA listeners, that, you know, artists and the arts have always been part and parcel of our political movements. And, you know, as our friend Jeff Chang and others have said, you know, the artists actually are often in front of policy, helping us imagine a better world, a new world that's possible. And also really, in this case, really celebrating our joy, right? The love of the game, play and playfulness. These are aspects that, you know, in some circles, I'd say on the left, you know, have kind of been shunted to the side a little bit, you know, around a form of purity politics. We're not going to talk about sports, or we're not going to talk about music so much. But I think all of us who really understand the power, the collective euphoria, right, that all this is about experiencing, building community, getting beyond the choir, and with artists really helping us imagine another world that's possible that we do want to see. And in that world, for me at least, and for these artists, the basketball is part of that, playfulness and play are part of it.
No, it's going to be a big weekend. Go ahead, Shamari.
No, and want to just to sort of follow up what Jeff is saying, like, yeah, this is probably one of the most diverse group of artists I've ever shown with. And it's pretty cool to see all the different perspectives. But then also there's this community feeling that I don't believe I've felt since art school, where there's just this support around what we're doing, and everyone has a great attitude, and, you know, like, we're supporting each other. Everyone who has a following, that following is now finding out about the other artists that are involved. And so it's been pretty amazing to participate, for sure.
As artists, with new technology, does that come into play these days? You know, I like playing around with AI art, right? And one could argue, as we did with sampling, there's an artist avenue within that, right? Remember when sampling came out? You're not a musician, you know, until people started flipping those samples, and it's like, well, maybe you are. And, you know, with AI art, there's some people like, what the hell? You know, Shamari spent 4 hours doing this painting, and you just, you know, but as it advances and as people use their imagination, does that become part of your repertoire as artists, you know, Jonathan or Shamari especially?
I'll jump in first. So what I love about the advancement of technology is that it's just more tools. Like, I look at it as a resource. And so not something that you, not a crutch or something you rely on, but another resource. So I, like, you know, here's a resource, here's a pen, here's a tool. And there's various tools that you use. And I think if you're talented, it will show. That's my take on it. I think it's pretty clear cut when someone is talented or not.
Well, a tool is only as good as the person who uses it. You
right.
know. your right. imagination will come up. But I ask because with so much technology, I'm just trying to see where you all as artists are now taking that, because you do have those tools. And I like the example that you used as a pen. Now you can go buy a pen and a marker, but there's somebody from, you know, the last century that's like, I used to have to go crush up the berries, you know, and then I had to put it in a little bowl, and then I had to get the right feather, and then then I was able to get that shade of blue, and you youngsters just went to the store and bought it, you know, which is cool. But then that advancement allowed you to do a lot more things. Instead of maybe just having a shade of blue, you have lots of shades of blue, you know, because you could do that, and we see something that we couldn't imagine. So I'm just wondering where that's at now, because that is coming into a beeline, especially with you guys as artists. You know, it's like, I want to do a painting like Shamari Smith. You know, it might not do it in your name, but if I study your art and go, he has mosaics in the word like that, all of a sudden I have you on my computer. So does that make you have to step it up to the next level?
Yeah, you know, so I think it's great. I welcome it. Like, if those things exist, like if I end up in the lexicon of the metaverse or whatever it is, that's an honor to have come up with a style that is now being emulated through technology. I'm never intimidated by that, because I'm constantly like, the style I'm known for, I think all artists are kind of like this, and not a lot of us admit it, but like, the style I'm known for, I created like 10 years ago. So creatively, I have moved on, but the masses are still digesting that idea from 10 years ago. And so I'm going to feed that idea over and over and over again, because people love it. However, I like, creatively, I have a bunch of other things.
You're not doing the letters and names and the portraits no more.
No, I totally do that because people love it, and I love that people love it, and I'll continue to do it as long as people love it.
but creatively, you're onto some other stuff now.
I think that's for every artist. We move on. And, you know, like, if you think about what you were thinking about and doing creatively 10 years ago, are you really still in that place? If you're an artist, like, I have an idea a minute, and, you know, some stick, some people resonate with some of the ideas. Others are like, what is this nonsense? But that's just the part. It's a part of being an artist. Like, I have so many ideas, and I've got to get them all out. And so, yeah.
Do you do any of the new styles in this NBA All-Star weekend?
No, this is the classic style expanded a touch. You know, that it for people who like the work that I do, I try to keep the integrity of the style. But little by little, I'm expanding out. And I'll use the analogy, like, we talk music a lot, Davey, and my analogy is sort of like this. It's like, if Lauryn Hill's first album comes out, everyone loves it, and then she does not release another album and decides to tour 10 years later, and people come to the show and they hear what she's doing, and she's moved on creatively, but everyone wants that thing from 10 years ago because they haven't heard her evolution. Right. And so that is sort of the analogy.
She was getting frustrated by it. People's like, man, she's lazy. She didn't do doo-wop the way that I wanted to hear it, because she had a band and they were doing it extra fast and whoop-de-whoop-de-whoop. Mm-hmm. I mean, but you know, I paid $555 for that front row ticket.
Right.
Do the record.
Right. Right. So it's just to speak to.
But this is free though, right? This exhibit is, how much does it cost? Am I paying $550 to come in? No.
Yeah, this is pay what you can. All ages. Everybody show up.
Right. So I want the new stuff.
We don't mind though if you want to pay $550. That's totally cool with us.
That goes, yeah, helps the artist out every cent.
Jonathan, let me ask you this, because you are a comic, you have, you know, that's been your forte, with all the tools that's out, the advancements, you know, the Pixarlation of comics and the anime field and all that. Have you dwelled into the new technology, and is that reflected in what you're doing and what we might see this weekend?
Sure. Okay. So I got some answers for you. And I also want to touch on some of the stuff Shamara was talking about. I think the AI stuff is a very interesting place right now. I think it is like Shamara is saying, it is totally a tool. So there's an aspect of it that I think is really interesting, where let's say I've taken AI and I want to learn Shamari style, and I'm going like, AI, teach me Shamari style. I want to do just like Shamari's. I want my work to look like Shamari's. Guess what? Shamari's work is the limit. That is like the thing you're trying to chase, and AI is never going to quite get it. It's going to get close, but it's always sitting there like, it's always going to be two steps behind whatever Shamari is doing. And like Shamari is saying, if he's moved on 10 years from now, AI is still trying to figure out what he's done 10 years ago. So like, AI is going to sit there, and like, the way I think of AI is, AI doesn't really know how to be on the cusp of the creation, of coming up with that new idea. It's going to give you the best, the expected best response. And it's going to keep kind of throwing out these ideas. And a lot of times they're not even some, well, I'm not saying a lot, but well, okay, we'll go with a lot of times is not even a great idea. But it's going to leave it up to you, right? Like, it throws you out a bunch of different options. It goes, does this look like Shamari's? Does this look like Shamari's? Does this look like Shamari's? And it's going to leave it up to you to pick which one you think is going to look like Shamari's, which a lot of times you may end up still being wrong. So you'll get, like, we're seeing this in the comic book field, where a lot of AI stuff is trying to like emulate some whatever artist, emulate some sort of popular comic book artist. But the pieces you get, you'll look at it and you still go, that's not it.
But what's the difference between you looking at Shamari's work and just being like, I'm trying to be like Shamari?
Yeah.
You know, and as a comic book artist, you know, a lot of people wanted to be like Jack Kirby and some of those greats at one point. But that was always the jump off until you got your own style. Ain't nobody came original with something like out the blue like this. You know, then you develop your own.
But right? I will say this. I think there's a difference between me, myself, growing up on Todd McFarlane art, right? And looking at that and being like, oh my God, Todd McFarlane art. But the difference there is that there are certain aspects that will resonate with me that I'm going to latch onto, right? Different aspects of it, whether it's, you know, the energy of the figures, or whether it is the line rendering, or whether it's page compositions. There's an aspect that I'm still making a choice. Even if it's subconscious, I'm still making the choice of what's influencing me and what I'm filtering into my own work, what I'm bringing into. I think the difference with AI is making that choice for you. Right? Like, AI is making that choice and it's doing its filtering and then presenting it to you. And now you're making a choice from a subset that you may not necessarily have wanted to latch onto. So I think that's the difference there, where like, I think there's nothing wrong with me looking at Shamari's art, whoever's art in the show. And I will honestly say, I think one of the big benefits of this show is having the people come back and show that awesome art. And I think it really does drive that competition. Funny enough, the way I got into all of this was way back, I think it was 2015, I believe. We had a art show when the Warriors were winning the championship, and it was called Dubs Against the World. And I've got a photo of me walking around that show, and I'm standing in front of it being like, this stuff is awesome. And that's what drove me into doing this stuff. And I remember in my head thinking like, if they do this again, I want to be a part of this. And seeing everybody's work was like, that made me want to sit down and work some more. So funny enough, for this show, Shamari's work was the first work in that we have kind of a little group chat to share everybody's work. And Shamari, and I remember pinging everybody going like, y'all want to start getting frustrated, go look at Shamari's art, because he just got all this stuff done. And everybody's looking, everyone's like, damn, Shamari's like done already and he's got all this stuff going on. And I love, as the process has gone on, that we've had, you know, our other artists join our group, and we've got like an internal working deck where we're all sharing our pieces, and people pinging me aside being like, damn, look at all this stuff. Like, damn, I got to step my game up. Damn, like, seeing what people are doing, like, I got to do something special. And so I think that is one of the cool benefits of a show like this, where it drives people that way, and it's organic, right? It's, this is not AI, analyze this deck, give me best response of what I should create for the show. It's them making those conscious choices, looking to that art, going like, here's what I want to do. Here's a flavor I want to bring. And right. The last kind of thought on this before I stop talking, because I know it's a long answer, but going back to what Shamari is saying about growth, the way I always think about this too is, I kind of use this phrase where, like, I'm tired of my own cooking. Like, okay. Like, you know, like, I know what I will make to eat. And sometimes I'm like, here's a meal coming. I'm like, I'm already bored. And so, like, when it goes to the art stuff, I get bored if I'm drawing the same style I did 10 years ago. I'm like I already see, like, oh, I want to draw Steph Curry. And in my head, I'm like, here's what I would do. And then it's almost like it's done. I haven't even started yet. But stuff like this show, stuff at, like, what the artists are showing, it makes me want to try new things, because I know I can't sit on the same things that I did 10 years ago. Yeah. So even for my pieces for this show, each one of them has a slightly different feel, or at least I hope it comes across that it has a slightly different feel, whether it's the line work, whether it's the coloring, whether it's the rendering. I'm trying to do something a little bit different so that I don't want AI to sit there and be like, oh, this is exactly what Jonathan draws like, because this is all he's done for 10 years. I think that's a quick path to making yourself irrelevant as an artist, because people will get bored. Like, taste yeah. change. People are going to get bored if they see the same thing over and over and over. But if Shamari's doing new stuff and I'm doing old stuff, they're going to be like, yeah, cool, Jonathan. You go over there. I'm going to go look at Shamari's art.
I don't know. Sometimes the classics is the classics is the classics. You know? I want that Rembrandt on my wall, that proverbial Da Vinci piece on my wall, you know? It's a classic.
I can understand it, but I believe those classics are determined by the public. I don't get to go, this is my classic. Everybody, oh, this okay. is a classic. Love it, right? Like it, that choice isn't up to me. That choice is up to what the people love. So maybe the style that the public's going to love of my work was what I did 5 years ago. And right. if that's the case, cool. And it becomes a classic because I have moved on. And it is a frozen style in time that, like, I may never return to, right? So people are going to be like, oh, I love what Jonathan did 5 years ago. But for me as an artist, like, I am going to change and try and do different things. And who knows? Maybe you love that style I did 5 years ago. And maybe I'm 1 year away from doing the thing now that people are going to love even more. That's what we do as artists.
As you're talking, I'm just laughing to myself because I remember with... Shock G of Digital Underground.
I love Shock G and Digital Underground.
But he was also Humpty. And he had moved on. But people who didn't know that he was Humpty was like, he'd show up as Shock G, man. I got this new funk stuff. I got this new style. And they're like, where's Humpty? Where's Humpty? Where's the Humpty guy at? You know? Is he coming? You know? And, you know, it's like, man, it's like, I don't want to go in the bathroom, put on the nose and show up. You know, but he was getting mad at his alter ego because it was like, you know, I want Humpty. And I remember you show up at radio stations as Shock and maybe like, that's yeah. cool. But where's Humpty?
I've had experience.
Where's the old Jonathan? I don't want the new yeah. Jonathan. I want the old Jonathan. I want the old Kanye, you know?
I mean, I do know artists that, you almost become trapped in that style, right?
Yeah.
You become trapped in that look. And, you know, and I think to a degree, like you've all have said, it's sort of like people want the hits. They're like, if I know your album was in this, I want to hear that song. And I think there's nothing wrong with that. But I also feel like it is like those concerts where, like, let me do some of the old stuff. Let me do some of the new stuff. Let me show you some of that classic. Let me make you happy. But let me give you some new things that I'm working on. If you never know what people grow with you.
If there was one thing that people were mad about with Kendrick, it's like, he didn't do his old stuff. He didn't do none of the hits, which was mm-hmm. kind of like, I'm gonna do the new stuff. And it was like, yeah. I wanted to hear All Right. I wanted to hear Don't Kill My Vibe. I wanted, you know, everybody was like, he didn't do none of the hits. And that, you know, and that in itself, I guess, with his art, you're not going to hear the hits. You're going to hear yeah. the new stuff. We've been talking with Jonathan Chan, Shamari Smith. We also have Jeff Pearlstein. Jeff, anything you want to add to this? And also let everybody know the dates and times of this exhibit, this NBA All-Star Weekend.
Yeah, thanks, Davey. The Art of the Game opens this Friday at noon. It's going to run noon to 8, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's in San Francisco, right on Market Street between 5th and 6th. So it's really accessible, all sorts of public transit. It's all ages, family friendly, pay what you can. We got now 25 artists and over, I think we're up to over 80 pieces of art. So hope people come out and celebrate their love of basketball, kicking off on Valentine's Day. The joy of the game, the art of the game.
Wait, is Friday Valentine's Day?
Yeah, I'm going to pretend you. I'm not going to tell your partner you said that.
Oh, Davey.
You know, you're the biggest, like, you're Mr. Love. We know that, Davey. Come on. You can't play tough with us.
I didn't know, but now we know. If you don't know, now you know. As we close out, let me start with you, Shamari. Damn, I didn't even realize. Oh, man. Okay, we'll figure it out.
Aren't you so glad you talked to us now?
Thank you. You know, you go into, maybe I'll bring her to the exhibit, bring my wife to the exhibit. Happy Valentine's Day. Me, you, and Shamari and his wife, we're all going to hang out together. That's the ticket.
Let's do it. It's my 50th birthday too, by the way. So
celebrate
with all
awesome,
all of the artists, and you all threw an exhibit on my birthday. It's amazing. I don't know. You can't plan that. You know?
There you go. Well, happy birthday, brother.
Thank you.
Wait, so you were born on Valentine's Day, the 14th.
Born on Valentine's Day, greatest birthday to have. Definitely.
Let me ask you this. Does your wife do a 2-for-1? Or does she have, or do you make her do, here's a Valentine's gift, here's your birthday gift?
I let her decide that, but it's she usually doubles up, which is cool. Yeah.
My wife was not like that. She's born before Christmas. It's like birthday gift, Christmas gift. Ain't no double up. unless it's like we're going, you know, on a special trip. It's like birthday gift, Christmas. None of this. And I think that's like all December folks, you know, on behalf of all the December folks, don't do a 2-for-1, you know.
My brother is born, he right around Christmas time. So I try to make certain to not do a 2-for-1. So like his birthday, right? I'll give him like a left shoe. And I'll be like, wait for Christmas. Let's see what you get for Christmas. Christmas might be the right shoe. We'll see.
That's a good one, Jonathan. I never have to do that. You know, as seriously as if I'll start with you, Shamari. We walk into the exhibit. What stands out? What do you want people to really pay attention to? You're like, man, the way they captured, you know, Donovich or LeBron or Steph, or what do you want? You know, whether it's your work or somebody else's, who do you want them to really make a beeline to and take a look at and be like, they did the damn thing?
Well, please, everyone, please take a look at my work. It's amazing how much creativity and the diverse ideas. It's what I would really like for people to do is to really examine each piece and check out the nuances and the cleverness within the artwork. There's so much that that, like, just kind of looking through what's been submitted, and it's like, oh my goodness, like that's such a good idea. Like, why didn't I think of that?
That's a very safe and political answer. Pick a team, man. Pick a side. Walk in there, man.
He did say, come look at his work. So
No. I said, outside of your work, since it's 25 artists, you know, give somebody their flowers right now. You know, take a stand. Now, I'm walking in there. I only got 2 minutes. Shamari, who do I need to go see outside of you? Because I've seen you.
Okay. All right. So one of the really cool, we've been talking about comics, and we just added a great artist, Billy Blaze, who does these amazing comic style. He does stuff around sports and hip hop. And he's my guy. And I love to see him join the fold and bring his creativity. And what he does, I think, is just amazing. So, you know, you talk about
Billy Blaze.
Billy Blaze, yeah, and he does a comic style, and he does like these comic covers,
okay.
And It's I think he'd really like it. He does like all the Bay Area rappers too, and okay. like you're like a Bay Area rapper encyclopedia. So like you'll really enjoy like his work for sure.
Is there any particular player that you looked at and said, "Man, Billy Blaze that"?
I haven't seen his work yet. He was a late addition, so I haven't seen his work for this show yet. So I'm excited to see what he does. I know his work and I know what he brings to the table. So yeah, everyone look out for that for sure.
Okay, Shamar is diplomatic. See how he? I'm gonna tell you to look for somebody I ain't even seen yet. I caught that. I caught that. Jonathan, you had some time to think.
Yeah.
Pick a side. You walk in there. Who do you want people to see?
Yeah.
Who stood out? Who stands out?
I gotta say, and I have told them this. I think Daniel Ordona is going to have an awesome show. Go see his pieces. I think he really stepped up his game for this. And seeing his pieces come in, he lit that competitive fire under me where I was like, I gotta step it up because he's bringing some heat. So
what's his style like?
How do I explain this? It's not comic style, but it is very painterly. It's got some great interpretation of almost an animated cartoonish kind of style, but there's a very painterly look to it, and it's just great storytelling in those pieces. He's one of those pieces like Shamari is talking about, there's Easter eggs and stuff and atmosphere and attitude built into those pieces. So each one that came in, I mean, it just you could feel his energy and how much effort he was putting into these. They're well thought out. They're well rendered. They're awesome. So check out Daniel's pieces.
Any particular players that he captured that you was like, man?
I think Jeff will agree with me on this one because we talked about it. His Cade Cunningham looks so cool. The Cade is great. His Anthony Edwards, I think, is awesome.
Steph.
Every one of his pieces looked great.
Okay. Yeah. Jeff, how about you, man? We walk in there. Who do you want everybody to look at with the exception of Jonathan and Shamari here?
There's two that come immediately to mind. Nico Alexander is a young artist, maybe I think the youngest in the group, just graduated last year from UCSB out of Berkeley, Berkeley High grad. And he's painting all of his pieces by hand. He started painting when he was in elementary school. And he has this project around basketball players and the divine and the sacred. So looking at kind of like Renaissance styles of basketball players, really fascinating. And then a personal favorite is Caitlin Jo Johnson. You have to see her work. Really whimsical style. She's inspired by Calvin and Hobbes and Peanuts. So really playful, fun. And I just posted actually to our Instagram for the show, which we should mention, which is at Soul Space Lab. So SOLE. SPACE Lab. And it's she's done a bunch of the current players, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, Pascal Siakam, but the one I just posted was a classic of Wilt Chamberlain. So throwback warrior as part of our Warriors Greats Wall of Warriors. And really hope folks will check out Caitlin's work as well.
Real good. Well, we appreciate y'all coming in. This will be, again, Jeff, the address.
954 Market Street, the simple version. It's right across from the new IKEA, and it's right between 5th and 6th on Market by the Powell BART.
Okay, so the NBA All-Star Weekend. What is the Art of the Game is what it's called. Shamari and Jonathan, thank you for joining us. One last question. There ain't going to be no Celtics on the wall, right? Are there Celtics on the wall? If there's Celtics on the wall... I mean, you know, no disrespect to anybody from Boston that might want to show up, but I mean, if there's Celtics on the wall, I mean, that's...
we even have a Lakers player on the wall, Davey. I know you're sensitive about it. So
Lakers on the wall too? Jeez.
Yeah, you know.
But we could shove them into the dark corner, way in the back, behind the stone column. We could do that for you, Davey.
I mean, after that last game where the Warriors lost to the Lakers, yeah, that's okay. I'll take a deep breath and I'll go through it.
It'll be drowned out by our wall of warriors. So don't worry.
We're going to take a break on Hard Knock Radio. I'll be right back.
Hard Knock. Turn the speakers in your car up. Quality program. Turn in for the real talk. Don't stop. EMN at it again. Sandman, Daddy Man. Chris Juwan Kim. Yeah. Innovation. Stimulating ill conversation. Anything else is just imitation. Simulation. Step into the zone. The Bay Area zone. Hard Knock Radio. Let's go. Big shout out to Nita and Davey D. Yeah, right. Feel me. Yeah. Honing down at Hard Knock Radio. Kind of crazy though. Oakland, stand up.
Stand up.
Ensemble, Big Night Wolves.
Yeah. Kansas City.
Yeah.
Bellevue. Come on, check out.
Why every novice spit they hard knock when they ain't going all in and ain't paid the cost of the fee? Hating that they made they beats, trying to eat to the belly from the steel gray beef. Say, please, baby, they'll save you a seat at the table with a great bread making a speech. Say, you beast and their lovers are unable to please. Make some shade on the name in the street. Because, hey, David G.
Real Talk Radio.
You and I rocking with the best in the West.
West Coast. Monday through Friday.
Sing it, Chris.
East Coast.
Psst. I see dead people.
Mustard on the beat.
Aye. Mustard on the beat. Depot in rap. He a freak throw, man down, call her Amber Lambs. Tell him free, bro, Nella New. To the cross, he walk around like Tizo. What's up with these jabroni air? Trying to see Compton. The industry can hate me. Marlon, they mama. How many ops she really got? I mean, it's too many options. I'm finna pass on this body, I'm John Stockton. Beat your not the Bible if God watching. Sometimes you gotta pop out and show. Certified boogie man, I'm the one that up to score with him. Walk him down whole time, I know he got some on him. Pole on him, extort, bully the floor on him. Say Drake, I hear you like I'm young. You better not ever go to cell block one. To any that talk to him and they in love, just make sure you hide your little sister from him. They tell me Chubb's the only one that get your hand-me-downs. And party at the party playing with his nose now. And Baca got a weird case, why is he around? Certified lover boys, certified pedophiles. Wop, 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 that f*** him up. Wop, 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 wop. I'ma do my stuff. Why you trolling like a? Ain't you tired? Trying to strike a chord, and it's probably A minor. They not like us. 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 You think the Bay gon' let you disrespect Pop? I think that Oakland show gon' be your last stop. They cold foul. I don't know why you still pretending. What is the owl? Bird Lucas and Bird. Go. The audience not dumb. Shape the stories how you want. Hey Drake, they're not slow. Rabbit hole is still deep. I can go further, I promise. Ain't there some B-rest? That's for bitching. You Malibu most wanted. Ain't no law boy, you ball boy. Fish Gatorade or something. Since 2009, I had this jumping. You could get a wedgie. Be flipped over your boxes. Or over your foe. The other option. Better straighten they posture. Got famous all up in content. Might write this with a doctor. Tell a pop star quit hiding. A caption won't action. No accident. I'm hands on. He around, get polished. Wayne grow like he was in jail, that's conniving. Then get his face tatted like a bitch apologizing. I'm glad D Rose came home, y'all didn't deserve him neither. From Alondra down to Central, better not speak on Serena. And your homeboy needs subpoena. That predator moving flocks. That name gotta be registered and placed on neighborhood watch. I lean on you niggas like another line of walk. Yeah, it's all eyes on me and I'ma send it up the park. Ay, put the road label on me, I'ma get them dropped. Ay, sweet chin music and I won't pass the ox. Ay, how many stocks do I really have in stock? Ay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 plus 5. Ay, devil is a lie, he a 69. God, ay, freaky need to stay the ass inside, ay. Roll that ass up like a fresh pack of Zion, ay. City is back up, it's a must, we outside, ay. They not like us, they not like us, they not like us. They not like us, they not like us, they not like us. Once upon a time, all of us was in chains. Homies still double down, calling us some slaves. Atlanta was the mecca, building railroads and trains. Bear with me for a second, let me put y'all on game. The settlers was using town folk to make them richer. Fast forward 2024, you got the same agenda. You run to Atlanta when you need a check balance. Let me break it down for you, this the real challenge. You caught Future when you didn't see the club. Hey, what? Lil Baby help you get your lingo up. What? 21, get your first street cred. Thug makes you feel like you a slime in your head. Ay, what Quavo said, you can be from Northside. What 2 Chainz say, you good, but he lied. You run to Atlanta when you need a few dollars. No, you not a colleague, you a colonizer. The family matter and the truth of the matter, here was God's plan to show y'all the liar. He a fan, he a fan, he a fan. He a fan, he a fan, he a freaky, freaky, he a denying God. Freaky, freaky, he a denying God. Hey, 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 run for your life. Hey, 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 run for your life. Freaky, 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 he a denying God. Freaky, 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 God. Hey, 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 run for your life. Hey, 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 run for
let
your life.
Let me hear you say O-V ho.
O-V.
Say O-V ho.
O-V.
Step this way, step that way, then step this way, step that way. Are you my friend? Are we locked in? Then step this way, step that way, then step this way, step that way.
Ha, hey, 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 ho, 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 Hard Knock Radio, East, West, North, South, conectados, every set, every hood, barrio to barrio, y'all stand up, stay righteous, speaking to the thugs, one love, we know where y'all at, hot, brown buffalo. It's a hard knock life, gotta pay your bills. They want a song about bling, but it ain't real. We speak to the kids and the OGs. Organize, mobilize, be the change you wanna see. 415s bumping Hard Knock Radio. Brown Buffalo, all up in your stereo. And to the youth, live life like it's golden. Go dumb, go hard, but don't forget where you're going. We from the hood, so it's all to the good. Let us know this, what you're feeling is right. Let's get this understood. It's only one reason why we here today. We tryna make real music so the people can relate.
Learning from these hard knocks, slipping in these hard knocks, listening to hard knocks, questioning the poor cops. Learning through these hard knocks, living for this hip hop, listening to hard knocks, repping to the hard stop. Learning from the hard knocks, living in these hard knocks, listening to hard knocks, questioning the poor cops. Learning through these hard knocks, living for this hip hop, listening to hard knocks, repping to the hard stop.
This is Bird Note. It's not a stretch to say that Keenan Walker got one of the most unusual job offers you can get, to be the duck master of the Peabody Hotel in Memphis, Tennessee. That means he would leave the hotel's 5 ducks on a daily march to the fountain in the lobby, a bizarre and beloved tradition that draws visitors from all over. But all the previous duck masters Keenan knew of were white.
And to be honest, like when I was offered the position, I was hesitant to do it because I didn't fully know the history behind it. And I never saw a duck master who looked like me.
But Keenan, a history buff who previously worked as a tour guide at the National Civil Rights Museum, later learned that a black man named Edward Pembroke was the one who created the duck march in the 1940s.
I would like to think that when it was, you know, whoever's day to march the ducks, I would like to think that they felt a little bit more important that day, you know what I mean? Or they felt a little bit more respected because they weren't just the guy carrying bags back and forth. They were the person spearheading the ceremony that people came to see. When I found out that Mr. Pembroke started the Duck March, I accepted the position to honor Mr. Pembroke, to honor the men who were downgraded and weren't treated with the respect that they deserved
Matter of fact, ladies and gentlemen, you all will. Let's send some love out to all of our outstanding Bellmen.
Keenan can be found most days leading the world-famous Peabody Ducks in their marches to and from the hotel's lobby.
And if you see me, don't hesitate to say hi.
For Bird Note, I'm Mark Bramhill.
Sequoia Ezekwe for Ear to the Streets of Portland on the best community radio station on the planet, KBOO Community Radio, KBOO Portland.
Our goal is to create an atmosphere devoid of genre.